Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower. If you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. After midnight, Colin and Eric will join me for the official midnight movie review segment, which we always do. We got a lot to talk about. And also Straight Out of Context, Drunks in the News, and much more, all here on WGN. To stay connected, go to Twitter. You can send your texts to 24720. But the best way to stay connected, interactive, it's constantly being updated. You can join up, and there's a whole bunch of people. Well, there's over 8,400 people on our Facebook page. So if you'd like to join up with over 8,400 of our fans, go to Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us, and then you'll be a part of it. Okay. We heard some incredibly sad news yesterday that Roger Ebert had passed away. He had struggled and fought a battle with cancer for about 10 years, and it would still came as a shock to us, and we were still hit with some deep sadness about it. He was a legend, and just one of the most influential film critics of all time. Not just a great film critic, but a really great humanitarian, a really great political thinker. An amazing writer, a great essayist, a wonderful storyteller, and a man who had a work ethic that no one could beat. Even when he was at his sickest, he was still working harder than most people who are completely healthy did. He was a big influence on me when I was a kid. I watched sneak previews back when I was like 10, 11 years old when it first came on the air, like in 75, 76. He and Siskel were a big influence on me being a movie freak since birth. I read Roger's reviews all the time. I was thrilled to have got to know him and to be a colleague of his. And it was a real joy to know the guy. And as a huge fan and as someone who I think did more for film criticism than maybe anybody in the world, to lose him is really, really, really sad. And now that we've lost both Siskel and Ebert, they both died too young. And if you have an Ebert story that you'd like to share or your favorite Ebert review, or if you just want to talk about Roger in general, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Colin and Eric and I have spent several hours sitting in the same screening room with Roger and talking with him and getting to know him. I met him first in 1985 and got to know him. So I wanted to bring Colin and Eric in early. I mean, we're going to do our regular midnight movie reviews coming up after midnight, but I thought I wanted to hear Colin and Eric's thoughts on the late, great Roger Ebert. And if you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. Let's bring in Colin. Hello, Colin.
Hello there.
And Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
So let's start with Eric. Eric, why don't you tell me about what Roger Ebert meant to you as a film fanatic from a young age?
Well, I mean, the story is pretty much all the same for, a generation of film critics or, people who became film critics or just loved film, is that you grew up watching him on television. I was probably too young for sneak previews, but I remember starting with At the Movies, mm-hmm. before it officially became Siskel and Ebert. And watching, these two guys talk about movies, I was seeing a handful of movies and was just getting cable at the time. So to see these two guys, from basically your hometown, be talking about movies, it made me want to seek out, more. You see them do 4 or 5 minute reviews, and it made me seek out writing. It made me seek out, get the sometimes for me, so I could read Roger's reviews. And my grandma saved me, the Tribune stuff, so I could read Gene's reviews. It's just so you have that entire period in your life where, Saturday at 6:30, on CBS, you're watching Siskel and Ebert, mm-hmm. And you're just happy to see, you would be happy to see a movie that you're really looking forward to get an early review on the show because you know that they liked it. So that's sort of my intro to Ebert.
The other thing about what they did as a team is that they brought at a time when it was not very popular to be a film critic. They made it accessible. By being on television, and then by being accessible themselves and by writing, they they took the art form of film criticism, which I think was perceived as very student-like and snobby back in the 60s and the early 70s. It was a small faction of writers, and they all seemed to be overly intellectual. And
it was an erudite.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like like normal, regular moviegoers who plop down money on a Saturday night to see a movie didn't give a crap what film criticism was until Gene and Roger brought it to the masses. And I think that's a massive, massive thing.
And it's not necessarily their fault. I mean, sometimes, you know, they get you know, criticized themselves for, you know, essentially two thumbs up, essentially sort of become, you know, what is, you know, the sort of the modern version of film criticism in a way. You look at sites like Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, where people look at the, you know, the ratings score first before they look at a review. It's not their fault that people just like, you know, like, oh, what do they think? Oh, two thumbs up. It's like, oh, okay. Instead of listening to the 4 or 5 minutes, that those 4 or 5 great minutes where the two of them would agree or disagree. And it's just wonderful.
Colin, tell me about your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you know, I always thought of Siskel and Ebert as my first film school. And, you know, I started watching them in 1981 when a friend of mine said, hey, there's this show. They're going to show clips from Raiders of the Lost Ark. I was like, oh, cool. And, you know, then learning, like, oh, wait, you can actually make a living, like, watching movies and talking about them? That's awesome. And, you know, I remember thinking, like, oh, I want to be a film critic. And, you know, anybody who's known me since I was 8 or 9 knows that that's what I talked about being. So, you know, it was a big deal to have Siskel and Ebert, you know, on television and in our city and to be so accessible to people who have a passion for film criticism or films in general.
Yeah.
You know, there's just something about just listening to them, you know, it was just such a that banter, that back and forth between the two of them is exhilarating. I mean, you go back and watch those clips, and a lot of them are on YouTube, and you know, it's still a lot of fun to listen to these guys talking about movies. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing about it is, you know, you mentioned that it. I think Roger's death affected people worldwide yesterday. I mean, like people, I think it saddened people around the world because he had touched so many people from every walk of life, from movie star, big movie stars. I mean, he was as big a star as some of the movie stars that he knew. And so, I mean, obviously a lot of people were affected, but I think there was that it was especially hard for Chicagoans to hear the news yesterday. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Colin.
Go ahead, Colin.
I was going to say, yeah, it was a hard thing to process. Even though you know, we knew it was going to come very, you know, sooner or later, it was going to happen. It was just like, wait, this is really happening now.
Yeah,
you know, just especially after he just released that, you know, statement that I'm going to take a break.
Yeah,
like okay, yeah, I figured as much, but man. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And Eric, you think the Chicago connection is kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, Chicago, like you were saying earlier, that, you know, in the 60s and 70s, film criticism was something for the coast. You know, it was a lot, you know, Los Angeles, especially, and definitely in New York kind of thing. And Gene and Roger, you know, brought that, you know, a Midwest sensibility to that. And, you know, there's really something to say about, you know, what Chicago film criticism actually is as compared to what you see on the coast and what you see in different mediums and whatnot. There's a real, you know, like you said, there's an accessibility to a lot of the people here in Chicago. And, you know, Roger was a big part of that. You know, he showed what, you know, the whole big shoulders thing was about. You know, he had plenty of room on his for the up and comers. You know, he was, you know, he had that kind of thing, even though the funny thing is that what I found out, you know, recently, you know, now with, you know, after his passing, is how many people, you know, who were sort of coming up into this industry the same way that Colin and I did around the same time, how many of us sort of shared that same sort of, you know, hesitant approach to go up to him and talk to him and converse to him. And he was like, I didn't really become sort of friendly with him. I mean, I've talked to him here and there, but but I really didn't become friendly with him until, ironically, after he lost his voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had many exchanges through email and whatnot because of stuff that I was writing at the time after his show was essentially taken away from him by the Disney people or the ABC people. He was very encouraging of stuff that I was writing, and was thankful to me of things that I was writing.
Yeah.
And it was really, you know, to get that sort of that outreach was kind of like, wow, I'm getting this from Roger Ebert.
Yeah, it's
a big deal. I must be doing something right.
It's a big deal. Yeah. Here's Scott. He's in Chicago on WGN. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing? Enjoying the show?
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
I just want to echo the same thing that you guys were talking, how accessible his reviews were to people like me who were just the average reader. I like Jonathan Rosenblum. I like Andrew Stern. I love Pauline Kael. But there was an accessibility to Roger through his writing. And I think the three of you carry on that sort of tradition.
Oh.
Having the reviews and making them accessible to us. And, you know, the conversation, hey, yeah, you know, I agree with you. And that's the way I kind of thought without kind of getting all, like you said, arty or West Coast about it.
Yeah.
So I think you guys do the same thing.
Oh, well, thanks,
keep
Scott.
Going with it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That's really kind. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. That was nice.
But a huge compliment.
Yeah, huge compliment. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. If you want to share your memories about Roger, if you ever had an exchange with him or met him, or what were your favorite Roger reviews? And the other thing I want to mention quickly before we take a break here is that Gene and Roger were both so proud to be a part of this city that, you know, I mean, they never ever – they wore it like a badge of honor. Like whenever they were on The Tonight Show or they were anywhere – you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it was a nationwide or an international audience of any kind, they wore the fact that they came from this city – like a badge of honor. And I mean, I think that's true of most Chicagoans, actually. Like, we, you know, we let you know we're from Chicago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that about this city, and I love that about these people. And Gene and Roger were exactly like that. And I thought that was one of the qualities that I loved a lot about them, too. So, all right, you guys, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk more about Roger Ebert, who passed away yesterday. And if you have a question or a comment, or you have a story or a memory about Roger Ebert or your favorite review or anything like that, he was a legend. He was great, much more than just a film critic, an amazing person, an amazingly smart guy, a brilliant, prolific writer, and a great mind. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on WGN, the voice of Chicago. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Colin and Eric have joined me a little bit early tonight to reminisce and talk about the great Roger Ebert, who we lost yesterday. He'd been sick for quite a while, but it still came as a shock. And so we got the regular midnight movie reviews coming up after midnight, and then Drunks in the News and Straight Outta Context and all that good stuff. And your phone calls. We would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 if you want to talk a little bit about Roger. I told this story, guys, welcome back. I told this story last night on the air about one of my favorite encounters that I had with Roger. and it was after the screening of Freddy Got Fingered. And were either of you at that screening?
No.
Okay.
But I remember the story.
It's I talked to Roger, knew who I was. I talked to him. We, you know, especially through Roy Leonard, like when Roy was still in the biz, we were much more talatative. And quite frankly, I went to a lot more screenings back then than I do now, or than I have in the past, like 4 or 5 years. But anyway, I was at the Freddy Got Fingered screening. First of all, the fact that they had a Freddy Got Fingered screening was, you know, stunning that they did. And I was literally the only person in the screening room laughing. I mean, we were in the Lake Street screening room, and I was laughing my head off, and people were kind of looking at me like I was nuts. I end up getting on the elevator with Roger afterwards, and he says, did I hear you? Were you laughing during that movie? And I said, yeah. He goes, did you like that movie? I said, yeah, I thought it was great. He goes, what? You know, like he could not even remotely process that anybody could like this movie. And I go, I think it's great. And he's just like looking at me. You know how Michael Myers looks at the guy after he stabs him and sticks him up on the wall?
just kind of turns his head like a dog.
Yeah, like, what? You know? And I proceed to say that I actually think it's genius, and that that years from now people are going to, you know, are finally understand it. I think a lot of people are not going to get it, and years from now it's going to be studied and blah, blah, blah. You know, I talked about what I think, postmodern masterpiece, I think it is. And he just was kind of very quiet, and then he goes, well, I clearly didn't get it. And then we started talking a little bit more about the movie, and then the review came out, and he did, I mean, it was a devastating review. I mean, he ripped it apart in that great way that when Roger hated a movie, it was always fun to read the reviews.
Yep.
It was very funny, and it just was. It was just a very funny review. But in like on a side note, he mentioned a colleague that he shared the elevator with after the screening, maintained that it was a masterpiece. Blah blah blah. So I got mentioned in one of his reviews because of that. But just that conversation in the elevator, like after Freddy got fingered, is one of my favorite memories that I have of any conversation I've ever had with Roger. This is Susan on WGN. Hi, Susan. Sandy,
hello.
It's Sandy. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm going to miss Roger like crazy. I grew up, when I think of Roger, besides a critic, I just think of him as a writer.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in a household, I'm about the same generation as him, a little bit younger, and we had 2 and 3 newspapers a day in our house. So I grew up reading everybody. As I grew up, I read Gene, I read Roger.
Yeah.
And I will say that in the years since he lost his voice, I contend that his writing was probably the more spectacular than ever.
I would agree with that, Sandy. I would agree with that.
I think it had a depth to it that was astounding sometimes.
Yep.
And it didn't even matter what the movie was or if he liked it or not. Just reading his reviews was like reading a piece of literature.
Or if he wasn't even writing about movies, if he was writing about something else.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's kind of like it's losing those touchstones.
Yeah.
In the city, you know, when we lost Royko.
And Studs. And,
Studs. Yeah. And this is just, this one hurts a lot.
It does. Well, he left behind a great legacy, though. Okay, Sandy, thanks for the call.
And what an amazing person.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, you guys hang on. We got the news, and then we got the midnight movie reviews, okay?